Hey everyone, Chris here. Thanks so much for downloading again this week. And I'm so eager. I'm loving these questions that we are just going to keep jumping in. This is part four of, I don't know what, I'm having a feeling it's going to become at least a 10-part series. And Bianca, you're going to just keep us going and keep asking me questions that people are asking me.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Carolyn Hulin had emailed on our Facebook page and had said, I come to Christ in my late 30s, and after 10 years of healing, growing, and studying his word, I feel called to lead. But how do you start to lead at an older age?
I love that question because I always think of the fact that my spiritual mother, Joyce Meyer, wasn't called till she was 41. And she said she started a ministry at that point. And I mean, my gosh, in the last, 30 years, it's been quite amazing what God has done in and through her life and ministry. So I don't think there's any kind of perfect age. We've got to remember this is not a corporate career where you go, okay, I come out of college and I've got to start my career path by this age. God throughout the Bible has called people at all different ages. He called Jeremiah from a young age, and then he called Abraham when he was older. I just think we've got to understand that there's God's perfect timing. And the important thing is to ensure that you're planted in your local church, and that for all of us, whether you're young or younger, that you just need to be faithful with whatever God puts in your hand, and you start there. And I think I've always had many different seasons. I began in youth ministry when I was 23, but it was not until I was 40 that I began the A21 campaign. And who knows what I'll be doing at 50 and 60. I think that when there's I don't tend to set my standard by what people say, this is your career path. And I'm not looking over my shoulder going, there's younger ones coming through. There's something that God's called me to do, and no one else can do what I'm called to do. So I just step up and into whatever it is that I'm called to do at that time and be faithful to it. And I kind of figure that it's not an age thing because, I'm in eternity. I'm going to go to eternity after this. So I want to expend every moment that I have here on this earth doing whatever it is that God has called me to do. I think don't stress out whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Don't forget that Caleb was 85 when he said to Joshua, I'm as young now as I was then. Now give me this mountain that's my inheritance. And I think while there's still breath in my lungs, while my heart's still beating, while blood's still pumping through my arteries and veins, that I'm going to be committed to just taking on whatever it is that God has for me. So whatever age you are, God is not looking for ability. He's looking for your availability. And if you're willing and able to step up into what God has called you to do, he'll make a way where there is no way. And you'll find that God is able to accelerate what man could never accelerate. And it's God that opens doors that no one can shut. And that promotion does not come from the north, south, east, or west. It comes from God. So don't get too caught up on the worldly career corporate ladder path and thinking, oh no, I've missed it. Just be faithful with whatever God puts in your hand right now.
So Shantae Rayanna had asked, how do you cultivate your gift in ministry? What I definitely want to highlight is the fact that, I speak to people or we get into the conversation about Equipment and Power Ministries and A21, and people kind of feel like you just popped out of nowhere. Here's this, sassy Australian chick, and all of a sudden she's taking the world by storm. But what people don't realize is that you were on the backside of the desert for 25 years in various ministries, even, youth ministries and starting new things and paving waves. On one of your blogs that you wrote not too long ago about a bridge and how you were allegorizing the Sydney Harbour Bridge to the bridges that we are to each other and to ministry and to the church. I love that. Love that. I would highly encourage people to check out that blog. But in being a bridge to not only the church, but to friends and family, you're a mom to young children, you're a wife. How do you cultivate your gift within ministry? And whether that's A21 or speaking, writing, traveling, and changing the world?
I think you've got to be faithful to the gifts that God has put on the inside of you to nurture them and develop them and grow them. And, I don't know, I guess it's different for every person. For me, I'm a prolific reader, a prolific learner. Contrary to what you might think, because you're always on the receiving end of me speaking into these podcasts, I actually listen a whole lot more than I speak. I heard T.D. Jakes once say that his mother said, life is a university, wake up every day and go to school. And I find that that's exactly how I am about life. I'm always learning, always growing, always developing. And I think, my speaking gift has developed over the years. Again, it's like most things, practice. You've got to actually exercise your muscle in order for it to grow and to strengthen. And so the more I do it, the better, hopefully. Hopefully I get at it. I learn from others that are further down the road from me. I actively look for people that have done more, been further, gone harder, lasted longer than me, and learn everything I can, whether it's from their resources or from them personally, if I have the opportunity to do that. But I think you are responsible to nurture the gift that's on the inside of you. God can call it out of you, but the degree to which you're willing to develop it, I think, is the degree to which and the breadth to which God can use you. I just want to add one caveat to that too. I always laugh when people go, "Oh, Christine, where did you come from? You're an overnight success." I think it was a flipping long night, and it's been a lot of years, and I don't know what that means. I would hope that this in and of itself is not success, because this is not the goal. I plan to have a lot more life ahead of me. I think another thing that's really important to remember is don't read too much of your own press, and don't believe too much about what you read about yourself. Let your measure be the Lord. Let your measure be the work of the Lord. Paul said, "I have run my race. I have finished my course." It doesn't matter really ultimately what people think of me. What does matter is what God thinks. And will I hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? I find it very important to ensure that we don't compare ourselves amongst ourselves. The Bible says those that compare themselves amongst themselves are not wise. And so I can't use my barometer, what's everyone else doing, or what are other women doing, or how much further have I gone or not gone than any other woman. That's actually not my gauge. My gauge is, am I running my race? Am I finishing my course? Jesus did not send me to earth to start my race. He sent me to finish. And so I'm very, very committed to finishing what he has called me to do.
Definitely want to take this in a little bit more of a personal route. We don't have a lot of time, but I would love for people just to know, you recently celebrated another year of wedded marriage bliss to Nicholas Cain. And if you can kind of talk about what that looks like.
Do you love how she just went from that to, "I want to make this personal"? I'm pretty much thinking I was very personal. But that's what you get from Bianca, who's trying to multitask, tells me that she can, which means she's not listening to my last answer. She scrolls down and picks a totally unrelated topic and then says one word, and that's the bridge and the segue. So although she obviously liked my blog on bridges, she wasn't really reading it, is what I'm trying to say. But that's okay. That's all right. It's maturity and wisdom. It comes with age. It'll come. It'll come. And so she's asking me about marriage. Yeah, Nick and I celebrated 16 years young. I can honestly say, you know, it's not a cliche, that I love him more now than I did when we were married, that we are stronger now than we were then. And I definitely, like never before, and I think as every year goes on, am understanding why God calls you to a partner for your life, and why God ordained and sanctioned a marriage between a man and a woman. It's not just a good idea I wrote in my blog, it's a God idea. And I see that so evidently as Nick and I have continued to grow. We've definitely had our ups and downs, and that's got a lot more to do with a lot of the junk that I brought in than Nick. You know, he's an amazing man, and God has so much used him in so many ways to love me to wholeness, and it's quite amazing. I certainly wouldn't be the woman that I am without him. And, you know, we work at it. We're very intentional about ensuring that we have a great and strong marriage, and I think we genuinely love and respect each other, and I think that goes a long way to having a great foundation for a great marriage. We are definitely not intense in we have a lot of fun. The main thing, and so we very rarely sort of have conflicts over kind of ministry or priorities or time. All that stuff's been settled. We're like a team, you know. We're marriage partners, we're lovers, we're in ministry together. I mean, you know, Nick and I, 90% of our lives are within the same sort of 2 square feet of each other, and it's awesome, and we just absolutely love it, and have made a way to make all of that work. You know, a lot of couples sort of couldn't operate like that, but it works for us. We encourage each other to be who we are. We are the most true selves, versions of ourselves, that we are with one another. I don't think there's anything about me that Nick doesn't know. It's just so awesome. It really is comforting and securing. But I think that the greatest strength is that neither of us have looked to each other to be in each other's lives what only Jesus can be. And we get from God what we need to get from God, which means we can give to each other what we need to give to one another. And I think that just really holds a very strong, strong marriage.
Somebody wrote on your Facebook wall, "How do you know when the one is the one?" Yeah. And I know that you are not Dear Abby or, you know, Dr. Phil, but you do have some very humorous insights, because I remember a blog that you posted about this. And for those that maybe haven't visited the blog but are avid podcast listeners, can you shed some light on that idea of the one and finding the perfect one?
Sure. And are you talking about the Lindt chocolates and the Hershey's? Yes. Okay. So I have a theory that you can pretty much decide at which level you want to shop. And so, of course, you know, there's Neiman Marcus and there's JCPenney's and there's Walmart, and that's fine. And they're all okay. They're all shops and they're all legit, but you can choose at which level. And I know some of you, please don't write letters to me, write them to Bianca. But I always go that if they're one, well, I think it's a bit scary to go if there's the one, because what if one of us dies? Does that mean there is never another one? What if something happens? So I like to look at it this way, that I do believe that God does have a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives. I really do. But I think that, you know, I had a life that was so committed. There is no way that I wanted to compromise the call of God. Therefore, that kind of put me in the shopping category of a Lindt chocolate kind of deal, is that there are fewer chocolates in the box that you buy and you pay a higher price, but what you're getting is the premium level. And then there's kind of like the Hershey's level, which is fantastic and they're nice and they're all good Christians and it's wonderful. But you know, caramel filled, peppermint filled, you're going to get a whole lot in the same old bag. And at the end of the day, that's the level that you're going to get, and it is not the Lindt level. And then, of course, there's the kind of like junky Dollar Saver shop candy that's just garbage, and you shouldn't even actually be shopping there, because none of that's going to last and it's not going to sustain and it's going to rot you and it's not going to be great. I made a decision that I wanted to, the kind of man that I wanted, there wasn't going to be many people like, Christine, you're too fussy. Well, you're exactly right. So I went to the Lindt chocolates and there's only a few of those in a box, but I was patient and I waited, and God brought me within that criteria, the one in that. I guess that's more my theory. Don't get so hung up. Have kind of like a bottom line. These are my non-negotiables, and then don't compromise those non-negotiables. But within those non-negotiables, go out with a whole lot, and then you'll know when the click is a click. And I just knew when the click was the click, and you, Nick, just knew it's that sort of, you know, before I ever got to the click, there was a whole lot of criteria that disqualified either a lot of people, me from them or them from me as well. You know, it's a mutual thing, because there were non-negotiables. You've got to decide what your non-negotiables were. For me, I would have remained single rather than marry less than God's best, and rather than marry anything that was going to compromise the call of God, of what I felt God had called me to. For other people, they're negotiables. For me, they were non-negotiables. That meant where I could shop was a very, very exclusive Lindt chocolate department.
So you married Mr. Lindt. I'm gonna refer to him now as that. Hello, Mr. Lindt. Yes, great to hear from you. Now, 16 years of wedded bliss, it's marrying Mr. Lindt and all of that great stuff. But in there, has there been hiccups? I mean, you waited for God's best. He gave you God's best. I mean, Nick is a wonderful helpmeet and helpmate and father of your kids and husband to you. Has there been moments of rough patches, either beginning of marriage or middle of ministry or starting A21, where things got a little bit tough, and how did you guys reconcile that together?
Yeah. And I definitely think that's an ongoing journey, and I think, you know, Nick and I are very involved in the front line, so the attack against us is very real, you know, in many ways. I think if we're tired, been running really hard, then I would get more emotive. I'm Greek and quite emotional. Nick is from a British background, 12th of 13, quite stoic, you know. So you've got a volatile Greek that has only one volume and one pace. And so that in and of itself is just, for Nick to realize I wasn't yelling at him every time, I was just having a normal conversation, in itself was a deal. And just because I'm expressive doesn't mean I'm angry. It's just, I'm just stating something and it's like, fine. And so he's sort of British and reserved, and your emotions are very contained, and there's me, which is, if I'm thinking it, you're going to know it. And it does, you know, and I have no problem shifting out of one gear to the next, but he is not that quickly adaptable. So there's some of all of that just kind of, you know, normality, but we don't make a bigger deal of it as it is. What Nick is extremely strong in his relationship with God, very secure in his relationship with God. And if he wasn't, that could cause a lot of problems with my strong personality, definitely. But because he is, he'll just look at me and say, could you just go and get yourself saved and just leave? And so it's like I've got to keep all my Greek frustration to myself and learn to crucify my flesh. And because he will not be moved by my emotion or my moods, and will compel me to have to confront my flesh in Christ, he possibly forces the greatest amount of change in me. He's possibly the most authentic Christian I've ever met. That's very frustrating to me, extremely frustrating to me. So anyway, it's great, and God has a great sense of humour. I wanted a strong man with a very strong independent relationship in Christ. There have been many times over 16 years where I thought, man, why couldn't I get someone that I could manipulate? So it's very, very, very frustrating, you know, which is great. I think what could really help here, people are kind of like laughing or talking. You've married a guy very strong as well and involved in Christian ministry, was married before, two kids. How's some of that been for you? You're a young woman. How's some of that process? Because that very much will connect with a whole lot of my listeners too, that, you know, haven't had my experience. I brought into my marriage a lot of the brokenness of, you know, 12 years of abuse and rejection and pain and hurt, and thank God that Nick is strong in Christ himself, because he didn't take my garbage and it forced me to have to deal with those broken, wounded places in my life. And then we had the cultural things, the English and the Greek, that just kind of natural, not spiritual, that we just had to work through. Much to my frustration and dismay often, his strength in Christ is what has helped me become the woman that most of you know me as today. He's made me a much better version of myself, much more Christ-like than I ever would have been. I'm not saying I like that. And to this day, nothing frustrates me more than that, when I know he's right and he bugs me and everything in me wants to react. It's still the greatest sort of corrector, for want of a better word, for bringing correction into my life, is just him being who he is, not saying or accusing, but just being very strongly, more than anything else, helps me, forces me to be conformed more and transformed to the image of Christ. So in your own context, a kind of a very different family context to mine, how's that working? Because I'm sure that will really connect with a lot of people.
Our stories are oddly similar and yet insanely different. I married an American man of German descent, so he is like the Ober German one, and then he marries a Hispanic, so he is totally in control of his emotions, and there's no variances in his personality. And then with me, it's like it's either the best day of my life or I'm dying on death's door, you know. So that's similar, but our how we met and married our significant others, it looks very different. Like you had mentioned, my husband was previously married and has two kids, and we mentioned on the podcast before, but my story looks different because I was not married. I didn't have any debt. I didn't have any children. I was just like super passionate about serving the Lord, and God's going to bring me the one, and he's going to have one green eye and one blue eye, and he's going to have an 8-pack and, you know, have a prayer language. I mean, this guy was a tall order, right? In the course of that, I meet Matt, who's my husband, and I saw more of Jesus Christ in him that revealed the pockmarked, broken areas of my own life. He challenged me to be a better person. He challenged the way that I looked at ministry. He challenged my view of life, quite honestly, and the fact that he can push me in a way that I allowed nobody else to. I didn't want to take any answers from anyone. Nobody could tell me what to do, and I could talk anyone under a table. I mean, I'm Puerto Rican. Like, it just happens. And I met someone who just, he wouldn't take it and would call me out in areas that I was wrong. And for the first time in my life, I actually found that I would allow myself to die in certain areas. It was a little bit hard justifying or explaining to friends and family that I was marrying someone who is previously married and has kids, and how different that was from my life. However, the way that I approached and viewed it was, there's this beautiful story of redemption, and God renews all things and has allowed me to be a mother, an instant mother, and I wasn't even grappling if I wanted to be a mom. And I instantly have two moms, and I didn't want to leave my dad's church. I didn't want to leave Los Angeles. And I'm in this new job, new vocation, new location, new roles in home and church, new church family. I mean, everything besides the car that I drive and my first name had completely changed. In the process of all of that, I remember one fight that we were having where I locked myself in the closet, and he came, and I mean, I locked myself in the closet with a book, a bottle of water, and a pillow, because I could die in there by myself with a good book, and I just would never see the light of day ever again. And about 15 minutes later, he came knocking on the door, and he said, "Open the door." And I said, "No," and I'm screaming, "No." He said, "Bianca, open the door right now." I said, "No." And he would not leave until I opened the door. And I opened the door, and he came down to my level, and he hugged me, and he said, "No matter what, I love you." And in that moment, I saw Christ's forgiving, unrelentless love cover me literally with two strong arms. That, to me, was probably one of the greatest experiences that I got to encounter, to see a living, breathing kind of version of God, if you will. No, he's not a God or the God, but a visual expression of Christ, the way that Christ loved the church is the way that my husband loved his wife, crazy as I am, because I have multiple personalities, as I like to say. But marriage looks different. It's exciting and it's new, and I would not want to do life or be on this journey. And to be honest with you, I've had moments where I've wanted to bang my head on my desk at age 21 saying, "Dear God, what did I do?" And he is my rock who will always push me and say, "God has you here for a reason. You're doing great. Don't believe the lies and the enemy." And when God calls you to a specific season, it's for a reason. And it's finding those reasons that God has called you to that. And right now it happens to be marriage, but I didn't get married until I was 30. So for Hispanic, I might as well have been like 85, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So Chris and I kind of resonate on that, but that's a little bit of my journey. Chris, as we have a little bit more time, just a few more minutes, what are some words you can give for newlyweds who passionately love each other and will brawl at times, but have Jesus as the center? Closes out with some good thoughts.
You know, at the end of the day, chill out. Nothing is as major as you think it is right now. Let God be God. Don't try to be the Holy Spirit. That's the big one. He's very good at being himself. When you try to get in his way, everything you're trying to change will take so much longer to change, because if you're like me, if Nick tries to be the Holy Spirit, then I will just make sure that he knows he's not. And it's the same way the other way. You know, enjoy each other, love each other, don't be in a rush. Enjoy the journey and take one step at a time, and don't over intellectualize everything. Don't read too much into everything. You're two people. The two becoming one flesh is, it, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. It's a journey. Enjoy each other. Don't take one another for granted. And don't slip into bad routines. Allow the character and nature of Christ to be formed in you through this union, which is awesome. And look, my big thing is just enjoy the journey. Nick, nobody to this day makes me laugh as much as my husband does. The guy is hilarious. And don't forget what drew you to them. And if you're married, have lots of sex. Okay. And if you're... Bianca's dying that I just said that. What's your thought about that?
I'm dying. What if my mother hears this show, Chris?
Okay, but no, it should be great because it's within a marriage union. I'm into it. Don't allow people outside of the marriage covenant to be having a better time with that than you are. So if you're married, enjoy it. And if you don't, find a way to. Okay, often and enjoy. All right, love you lots. That's my greatest advice to married couples. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's Coffee with Chris Kang. Make sure you don't miss next week's podcast, as you never know where in the world she might be next. In the meantime, check out our website, www.equipandempower.org, for photos, downloads, Chris's schedule, articles, and a link to her Twitter, where you can keep up with Chris's adventures around the world in real time. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next week for another Coffee with Chris.